Morning, Church of the Valley. How are we doing? Did you enjoy the weather yesterday? Kind of a change, huh? So I'm out in Oak Hills. So I've been asking around if you guys got a little spritz of rain. Out in Oak Hills, we got dumped on. I was whopping the trees and all that stuff, and I was just soaking wet because it was just monsoon season. So I was hoping you guys got some. Apparently not, right? Maybe a few drops. Well, I got to wash my car now because now it looks really nasty, but... Yeah, we could praise God for the blessing of the good weather. Okay, speaking of blessings, have you ever heard the phrase, living the blessed life? Have you heard that? You know, someone might ask you, hey man, how you doing? Hey, I'm just blessed, man. Lord's been good. I'm just blessed, man. Just blessed. You know, it might look like the woman who posts an image on social media of her latte sitting on the outdoor patio table, and off in the distance you see the morning sun just kind of dancing across the water of her glassy pool. And she just finished her morning devos and she hashtags it, sipping in blessings. You know, she's living the blessed life, we might think. Or you might see an image of her and her besties down at Cheesecake Factory, and they're all crowded around that big table, and they just finished a slice of Oreo Dream Extreme Cheesecake. And she snaps a photo of it, and she hashtags it, blessed with the best. We think, woo, man, she must be blessed. Or it could even be the dude that just got a job promotion. Takes a picture of that little job title right on his desk. New job title. And then he posts it, day one blessings. You know, we look at those posts sometimes, and we think, man, those people must be blessed with all those different blessings. You know, there's a lot of different types of blessings that come into our lives. You know, for some of us, we might be, you know, those blessings might be something a little more simpler. Like, in other words, they're just thinking it's a blessing just to have food on the table. Or the next meal coming in the next night, you know, we're going to have food. You know, some people might think, hey, I'm just blessed with a good paying job. I'm blessed with the praise, with a pay raise. Or maybe I'm blessed with good health. You know, some of you might have, you know, heard that story of the person who heard the doctor say that, hey, that tumor is non-cancerous. Amen. You know, what a blessing. What a blessing. You know, there's a lot of different blessings that can come into our life. But have you ever stopped to think about where those blessings come from? You know, you might see that woman sitting by the pool with that latte, and you might look a little bit closer at that image, and off in the distance, you might see a spa and maybe a grotto that goes with it, and you might think, man, she must be wealthy. You know, maybe it's her wealth is the source of her blessing. Or you know, you see her crowd around the table with all those different friends, you think, oh, maybe it's her popularity. You know, her fame, that's why she has so many friends. That's the source of her blessings. You know, or maybe that dude that got the job raise. Oh, that had to be his influence. That was the source of his blessing. There's so many things that we can think of as sources of our blessings. But we're going to see something a little bit different this morning. So go ahead and turn to Psalm 128. That's where we're at in our series of Psalms of Ascents. By the way, we've got one more, and then we're going to head on into a new series. And I ain't going to tell you what it is, because it'd be a surprise. But Psalm 128, that's where we will be at this morning. And Psalm 128 is going to speak to this idea of living the blessed life. So go ahead and turn there. And from this passage, we are going to see where a truly blessed life comes from, what is its source. And not only will we see where our blessings come from, and this is what we're really going to focus on, is how do we receive them? How do we receive those blessings? Now, I want to give a warning here before we get into this psalm. Because the psalm is not saying that you will get whatever you want. Nor is it saying you'll get whatever you think you need. This isn't all about if I'm good enough, I will get health, wealth, and prosperity. That is not where the psalm is going. And we'll see that as we go through it. So if you haven't found it, go ahead and turn there to Psalm 128. And I'm going to give you a couple principles when it comes to receiving God's blessing from Psalm 128. So here we go. Let me read it to you. Psalmist says this. He says, blessed are all who fear the Lord,
who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Okay, you've got your fill-ins. Let me give you your first fill-in. The first principle when it comes to receiving God's blessings is it begins with the right posture towards God. Okay, first principle when it comes to receiving God's blessings is it begins with the right posture towards God. So we want to know, what is this posture? How do we receive God's blessings? Well, the psalmist tells us, notice right away in verse 1. He says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. Notice, he says, it is those who fear the Lord that are blessed. So that begs the question, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Okay, now, I might sound like a broken record in this, but again, this is Hebrew poetry. There are two lines, and those two lines are working together. Okay, they're called synonymous. That second line is kind of reinstating the first. So what that tells us in this context, that the fear of the Lord are for those who walk in obedience to God. There is a reverent respect and obedience to God. I like how Dr. Tony Evans illustrates this. This is what he says. He says, if a driver is going 80, and notices a police car parked up ahead on the side of the road, they will slow down. In fact, a whole series of things goes into motion. First, the driver's heart starts beating a little more heavier. His brain tells his leg to let off the accelerator and ease down on the brake, being careful not to slam on it. His eyes look down at the speedometer to ensure the speed is decreasing. And then they move to the rearview mirror to see if he's been caught or not. I know you've all been there. I know you've been. No. The policeman's presence has produced a healthy respect for the law. When an officer is present, drivers adjust to the law because of respect for the officer's authority. A driver might not like his authority, may not want his authority, or might even be rebellious against his authority, but he still respects it. What would most people think about a person who speeds up to 90 when they see a policeman? They would call him a fool. Why? Because that driver is showing no reverence for the law. He is disobeying the law. Fill this in your notes. The fear of the Lord is an attitude of reverence and respect that is displayed in obedience to God. The fear of the Lord is an attitude of reverence and respect that is displayed in obedience to God. You know, there are some who live according to their own law because there is no desire to walk in obedience to God. But you know, just like a driver should fear the authority of a peace officer, whether they see him or not. So a Christian should show true fear by having a posture of obedience to God. That's what it means to fear the Lord. Having that desire to obey him, to follow him. So the psalmist gives some benefits to fearing the Lord. He says in verse 2, he says, you will eat the fruit of your labor. It says, blessings and prosperity will be yours. You're gonna find satisfaction from your work, he's telling them. You know, work's not a bad thing. I know as a kid, I was like, oh, I gotta take out the trash. I hate it. You know, we were created to work. We were designed to work. Back in Genesis chapter 1, remember, he creates them and he puts them in the garden. What did he tell them to do? To cultivate and to keep. Right, fill the earth and subdue it. We were created to work, but then Genesis chapter 3, you have the fall, and thorns and thistles would grow. Work would become hard. He says, by the sweat of your brow, work becomes tough. Folks, that's why sometimes our work can be unsatisfactory or unrewarding. It's because we live in a fallen world and things aren't as they should be. But God says with the right posture towards Him, you will find blessings and prosperity from your labor. That's what He tells them. Then He gives them more benefits. He says in verse 3, He says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. How many of your kids are like olive shoots around your table? No. What in the world? You know, back in those times in ancient Israel, a wife who had a lot of kids was a mark of God's blessings, you know, because God promised Abraham, your kids are going to be like the stars. There's going to be tons of them. So as a wife, if you had a ton of kids, that was a mark of God's blessing. Plus, you had help to work the fields. The more kids you had, the more help you had. So kids are described as olive shoots in this man's home. That's probably indicating growth and fruitfulness in his home. You know, there would be a general welfare and well-being of the home, and that would be a blessing for those who fear the Lord. That's where the psalmist is going with that. But don't miss out on the point. Receiving the blessings of God starts with the right posture towards Him. And that means you're living your life in complete surrender to Him. You could put it this way. I have it in your notes. Receiving starts with surrender. Fill that in. Receiving starts with surrender. You know, you're coming to God and you're telling God, hey, Lord, my life is yours. If anyone, remember what Jesus said, if anyone come after me, he's got to deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself. That means to give up the rights to your life. You no longer have the rights. You give them over to God. And you follow him in complete obedience, reverence and respect. And that'll put you in the right posture for receiving the blessings. Because guess what? God wants to bless. He wants to bless. So it starts with the right posture towards God. Okay, second, number two, receiving God's blessings continues that posture for the entirety of life. Receiving God's blessings continues that posture for the entirety of life. It is continuously living with the fear of the Lord for the rest of your life, walking in surrendered obedience to Him. The psalmist says, he says this in verses 4-6. He says, yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. By the way, that's just, that yes, it's just a Hebrew way to really put emphasis on that. Indeed, you might say, but really, hey, this is a blessing if you fear the Lord. He's really wanting you to see that. He says in verse 5, he says, may the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Again, notice the fact he's placing emphasis that blessings are always tied to the fear of the Lord. It's that posture they are to, notice, maintain in order to receive God's blessings. And so he asked God that they would see Jerusalem prosper all the days of their lives. That they would live to see their grandkids, folks. This is about growing old in age. But he asks it for those who continue in that posture of fearing the Lord, walking in obedience to Him. You can fill this in. The fear of the Lord is that posture we are always to maintain. You can fill that in. The fear of the Lord is that posture we are always to maintain, even as we're growing older and older and older. I've always appreciated chatting with the older folks who have been around the block a time or two. And I love hearing their stories, especially those ones who've just been walking with the Lord all their life. I learn so much from them, but you know, one thing that I notice when they share their stories is the humility that God has cultivated in them. You know, they start talking about the kids, and they'll start talking about the grandkids, and maybe even the great-grandkids, and they start sharing their stories and how they've interacted with them, how they just want to be a positive influence in them. And it's neat just to hear just the humility that they have, because they realize that God has them here on this earth for something so much bigger than just themselves. And I love hearing it. And it seems that the key to that humility that they maintain is that constant posture of surrendered obedience to God throughout all their life. That fear of the Lord that they have maintained all of their life. And you really sense that humble attitude that they have from it. I want to share an excerpt from a book. It was written by a lady who actually attended this church many years ago. Some of you might remember who she was. In fact, as I was told, you could hear her beautiful voice sing from the choir. But she wrote a book, and it was called Time Out, Ladies. Sorry, fellas. It relates to us as well. But she wrote a book called Time Out, Ladies. But as I read this excerpt, I want you to listen to the humility that she prays for as she begins to think about her aging and her growing older. This is what she prays. She says, Lord, you know better than I know myself that I am growing older and will someday be old. Keep me from getting talkative, and particularly from the fatal habit of thinking I must say something on every subject and on every occasion. Release me from the craving to try and straighten out everybody's affairs. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to get to the point. I ask for grace enough to listen to the tales of others' pains. Help me endure them with patience. But seal my lips from my own aches and pains. They are increasing, and my love for rehearsing them is becoming sweeter as the years go by. I dare not ask for improved memory, but for a growing humility and a lessening cockiness when my memory seems to clash with the memories of others. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally I might be mistaken. Keep me reasonably sweet. I do not want to be a saint. Some of them are hard to live with. But a sour old woman or a man is one of the crowning works of the devil. Make me thoughtful, but not moody. Helpful, but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it. But you know, Lord, I want a few friends at the end. Give me the ability to see good things in unexpected places and talents in unexpected people. And give me, Lord, the grace to tell them so. You know, Dell Evans wrote that in her early 50s. When she probably started thinking about her sunset years as she was kind of heading over the mountain into old age. Now, some of you might not know who Dell Evans is, some of the younger generation. Roy Rogers and Dell Evans, they were Hollywood elites from way back in the day, and they actually attended this church. And I've heard many stories about them, but she wrote that excerpt in that book, and I wanted to share it with you. I love the subtitle that she had on that book. It's called A Dynamic Recipe for Good Living. And I love it. Living the good life. And I hope you can sense that humility that she had in her. It was a woman who decided she wanted to continue that right posture that showed reverence for the Lord and complete surrender to Him for the entirety of her life. And you can see that in her humble attitude that she had. And I think for us, even a young buck like me, you know, it's something that we can take to heart. Having that fear of the Lord, maintaining it, and letting that humility flow from that. I love it. So receiving God's blessing starts with the right posture towards God, then it maintains it for the entirety of one's life. So here's where we're going to land. Number three, become a God-fearer to unlock God's blessings. Become a God-fearer to unlock God's blessings. Now, save this for last. Be mindful. This is a psalm that is written to a covenant community where God promised that he would bless them with land, he would bless them with crops, he would bless them with kids, he would bless them with all these material blessings in addition to immaterial blessings. Okay? In the New Testament, though, the focus is on spiritual blessings that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, this is what Paul tells that church in Ephesus. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessings." And then he goes on to explain what those blessings are. He says, in him, in other words, through Jesus Christ, we have been chosen. In him, you have been predestined. In him, you have been redeemed. In him, you have been sealed with the Spirit. These are spiritual blessings for the New Testament believer. So this doesn't mean that if I live with the fear of the Lord, that he will bless me with whatever I want or whatever I think I need. It's not what it's saying. You know, God knows what you need better than you do. But rather, this is a psalm that is encouraging God's people to be godly. This is about living a godly life and acknowledging our blessings that God gives us, whether they're material or immaterial. You're acknowledging them. And as believers, we want to maintain a constant fear of the Lord. Constant fear of the Lord. And that fear of the Lord begins for us by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Obedient to him, walking with him, that's where it begins. And once we do that, we want to maintain that constant fear of the Lord, that constant obedience. So what are some signs that we as Christians are doing that? What are some signs that can tell us, yeah, we're fearing the Lord? Well, here's the first one. Do you fear the Lord with a humble heart? Do you fear the Lord with a humble heart? That's the idea of reverence. You can fill that in. Reverence. You fear the Lord with a humble heart. That's reverence. You know, we've kind of already talked about this one. But does your respect for God create a humble attitude in you? And can others see that attitude in you? You know, I love that excerpt from Mrs. Evans. You know, talk about a lady who wanted to pursue that humility all of her life, even before she reached her later years. You know, can others see that healthy respect you have for God? And is that respect being maintained and pursued as you grow older? Are you pursuing it? Here's another way, or another sign that we have that indicates where God fear is this. Ask this, do you walk daily in his ways? That's the idea of obedience. Walk daily in his ways. Do you do that? The idea of obedience. Are you following his lead? Are you staying true to God's path? You know, Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is God's word a flashlight for you? Do you use it to see where you should go? All your decisions you make, you sift it through God's word. And are you obedient to it? Now, I get that there are times in life when decisions come up and we don't know where God is leading. And the path seems foggy. But you need to know that God's word was not written to give you every single decision to make in your life. It doesn't tell you where to have lunch after church today. It doesn't tell you that. It doesn't tell you what to wear to work on Monday. It won't tell you what house to buy. It won't even tell you who to marry. But it does teach us principles. It teaches us principles that gives us a lens through which we can make our decisions. You know, does the way I dress at work reflect model modesty and reverence for God? Or I know the Bible has a lot to say about greed. Am I buying this house out of greed? Or I know the Bible talks about being committed to following Jesus. Will my potential spouse cultivate that desire in me and I in them? The point is, do you walk daily in His ways by keeping God's word as a lens through which you make decisions? And are you submitted to it? Are you obedient to His word? And are you going to follow it? Finally, last one, do you recognize God as your provider in work and family? That's the idea of gratitude. You recognize God as your provider in work and family. That's the idea of gratitude. Do you do that? Are you able to do that? If you were with us last week, we look at Psalm 127. That taught us that God is the ultimate provider in everything we do. But do you recognize it? Do you see it? As the Lord blesses your work, as He blesses your family, as He blesses your church, are you able to give Him credit for it and thank Him for it? You know, whether it be that latte by the pool, you know, sipping in blessings, are you able to give Him thanks for it? You know, or sitting around with your BFFs at Cheesecake Factory, blessed with the best. Are you able to give Him credit? You know, even that job promotion, day one blessings. Are you able to give Him credit and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings that you have given to me in my life, especially those spiritual blessings of salvation, of redemption, of choosing you, of giving you God's Spirit. All those blessings, are you able to say thanks to Him? Folks, this is what a God-fearer looks like. There are signs of reverence. There are signs of obedience. And there's a gratitude which all come out of that healthy fear of the Lord. And as you cultivate that, you can't help but just see the humility that comes out of that. You know, if you're looking to receive God's blessings, then it starts with the right posture to receive them. So you begin with that reverence and that respect for God, a life surrendered to Him. And of course, that begins by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But then you continue that posture throughout the entirety of your life. Then you are in a position to receive His blessings because, guess what? God loves to bless. He loves to bless. The blessed life isn't achieved. It's received. It's received from God, and it's through a life surrendered to Him. It's the fear of the Lord. I challenge you to really cultivate that in you, especially as you are growing older and older and older. Father, just thank you so much for the different blessings that you send our way. Lord, there are so many. And sometimes we just get so caught up and we forget the fact that, Lord, you have given us everything that we need. And we can forget that, Lord. Help us not to do that. Help us to see those blessings and just turn around and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for providing those for us, for giving them to us. And Lord, help us to not forget the spiritual blessings that you have given us. Lord, we were walking a path that was away from you, that was disobedient to you. Yet you found us and you pulled us to yourself, Lord. And because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, as we put our faith and our trust in Him, you bless us in the heavenly places with all these spiritual blessings of redemption and forgiveness of sins, Lord. Help us to remember those. Help us to receive them, Lord. Lord, we do thank you for Jesus and the work that He's done so that we can live the blessed life, Lord. We thank you for that. We pray all this in His name. We pray it by the power of the Spirit. Amen.